Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Well, hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a special edition of Achtung Millwall after a little hiatus whilst I was away having my 60th birthday, if you can believe that. You can email me and tell me I don't look it, but I looked in the mirror this morning. I think I do look it. Welcome to the show, to two special guests. A new voice to the show. I've wanted to get you on the show for some time, Jake, and it's great to hear you. Mr. Jake Sanders of the Football League World. Welcome to the show, Jake.
Cheers, guys. Great to be here.
And our regular voice, the pro, the main man, Radio 5 Live's finest, the rising star of British radio. It's Mr. Aaron Poole.
Welcome, Aaron. How are you?
It's good. This is odd because regular listeners to the show will know that normally it's like sleeping on the other side of your bed. It's a bit of an odd experience because normally Aaron leads it, and I am the kind of like the dance partner on the inside, to give it a strictly kind of spin.
So we've got to get you back into work, Nick. I mean,
like a return to work.
You're just getting a bit lazy, mate. Let's be fair. Like fucking, it's like, oh, April, yeah. Can you lead that? Yeah, can you lead that? Get some work, man.
Oh dear, they're putting me through my paces, listeners. So welcome both chaps. We speak in the aftermath of yesterday's 3-0 shellacking by Huddersfield at the Den. Jake, it's been an odd week to be a Millwall fan, because we've had every emotion possible, I think, in the last 7 days, from a fairly average result last Saturday to the high of that win up there at Preston, and then yesterday's capitulation. I can't think of a better word for it. How did you see yesterday's game?
It was sort of very Millwall, wasn't it? You have the disappointment of the Barnsley result, you have the Preston result, and everyone's saying, oh, you know, could this be the year? And yeah, we're winning away games and whatnot, and then
no one brings you back down to earth like Millwall, do they?
Very true, very true. I mean, I've followed the club for 40 plus years, and this is a standard, routine, just as success seems to be within touching distance. It moves back slightly. Aaron, we are cursed with some injuries, mate. I mean, I thought Kenneth Zahor in the week looked like a real prospect, and then lo and behold, he's injured, like Troy Parrott seems to be permanently injured. We're having no luck, are we?
Just typical Millwall, really, isn't it? You know, like, you actually find someone who's half decent, and then bang, they get injured. You know, like, it's just annoying. Troy Parrott, of course, hasn't really, well, he's had no impact, has he? Troy Parrott's had no impact. Zahor's obviously come in, scored a good goal Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Sorry, yeah. I mixed up. A good goal Wednesday, and sort of, you know, paid the price with a knock. And then yesterday, I mean, you could really see that they needed some form of attacking impetus. Yesterday was poor.
It was very poor. I just want to talk about the lineup. I know and I guess that we're rotating the squad slightly, which is always a very odd thing from a Millwall perspective to say, because of the sheer weight of fixtures, Jake. I mean, we're back on it again Tuesday night, aren't we? I mean, this is a relentless pace this year, the Championship, in this condensed form. You know, you're talking about Saturday, Tuesday, you know, for some time yet to come. And I think the squad is starting to show just one or two limitations with the sheer weight of fixtures. Would you agree? Do you think it's part of the factor?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same for everyone, but when you've got injuries, you sort of feel a little bit more hard done by, and obviously Gary Rowett being away and all the issues. You feel like, I don't want to say nothing's going Mill's way, because to be honest, before yesterday, they'd won yesterday, being the top two, but you sort of feel like it's just one thing after another. So, as we know with the Championship, especially with the games coming thick and fast, you got a chance on Tuesday and then Saturday to put things right. So,
yeah,
a few days for another game, especially in this sort of shortened season. So,
I mean, up front we look very toothless, and I'm loath to pick out Tom Bradshaw because I think he's an easy target in some ways, and I know the great debate is the work rate versus the goal scoring, and he's wearing a number 9 shirt, chap, so he's got to deliver on that front. But I mean, neither Tom Bradshaw nor Matt Smith in the second half received any service whatsoever yesterday. I mean, remarkable lack of chances.
Jed Wallace was playing like a tit in a trance, wasn't he? He was like flying around. Every 2 minutes, he's changed position. He's moving there. He's coming off the left, coming off the right. I saw him playing at holding midfield at one point, because that is what Jed Wallace does. He's a talismanic player. He's a player who is going to end up carrying this team, who will, you know, sort of see his own frustration at other players not doing things, and will go, fuck this, let me go and get the ball from Bart, let me go and get the ball from the back line, let me go and get Jake Cooper, and let me go and try and push this team forward and try and actually do something. You know, and that's the problem. That's the problem. There's an over-reliance on Jed Wallace. And Nick, I disagree with Tom Bradshaw being an easy target. 2 league goals in a calendar year is a poor return from a centre forward. And he offered fuck all yesterday. Literally nothing. His link-up play was poor. You know, obviously they went from the back 3 to a back 4, and then Jed went and joined them up top. But it was Jed Wallace doing it. It was as if, like, Tom Bradshaw was standing there going, all right, Jed Wallace, yeah, you do all my running for me. You do all my running, and I'll just, you know, sort of like, you know, mill around in the box. There was no striking intuition. There was no, like, you know, let me make a quick dart and run across the near post, or let me do something like that. There was nothing from Tom Bradshaw. It was really, really poor. Bod Varson, you know, bless him, he's just, it doesn't seem he's kind of got the quality. It's as if Millwall have got these strikers, but they're all bland. They just don't want to do anything. Like, shit, man. How many strikers they got the club? Zohar?
Five
fucking senior strikers. Can't get a goal between them. Like, literally, it's frustrating.
And
it's very frustrating.
And Jake, Mason Bennett sitting on the bench until the 65th minute. I mean, I make Aaron write about Jed's, that he carries the weight of the team on his shoulders at times, and that's for better or for worse. I think that's just the way he is as a player. But we brought in the likes of Conor Mahoney and Mason Bennett. I like both players. But Mason was sat on the bench till 65 minutes in a game that was crying out for something new, some pace, some energy, some pizzazz. And it seemed like such a waste of a player that really, really wants to play.
I feel like I don't think there's any sort of arguments. Right now, Mason Bennett gets into Mill's best team. But especially after missing the Wickham game and sort of the injury problems he's had, I feel like yesterday was managing his fitness, because you got the midweek game against Luton he played, then he played against Barnsley, and then there's a midweek game against Norwich, and sort of you can't have players starting every game. And maybe he felt like he could possibly get away with winning yesterday's game without Bennett and then have him for Norwich, which is a harder game. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah, you in terms of Jed, I mean, you want to see more from Bennett and Mahoney. You want to see more consistency, because that's what you get from Jed. You see the statistics, 25 goals and assists this season, 4 goals and an assist already. And Mahoney and Bennett have done well, but you just want to see more. And what Aaron was saying, you see him here, you see him at left back, you see him, because he gets frustrated and he sort of takes it into his own hands and he feels a lot of responsibility. And then when you're losing games and you're chasing games, you don't get the best Jed, because he chases after everything and he sort of tries to do it all himself, and then he gets a bit frustrated, and you can see in his body language he was frustrated yesterday. But yeah, I do feel like others need to step up, because Millwall won't get to where they want to get to if they don't have help. Because as Aaron said, you've got five strikers that two are injured and three are not going to get loads and loads of goals. Although I do really like Matt Smith and think that he's not got enough minutes this season, but other players have got to step up. The attacking players have got to step up. Midfielders have got to step up and score goals. If your strikers aren't scoring goals, then you're struggling. And in a team that don't concede many, don't need to score many goals.
Till yesterday, Jake.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Before yesterday, Mill don't need to score two and threes to win games. Often, no. I mean, I think including the Preston game, I think that was Rowett's 10th away win. I think seven of those have been 1-0, which says a lot with that back four or back five.
I mean, we had the weight of that statistic, you know, the best in Europe, the most clean sheets in Europe.
I looked like a right dickhead pulling that out yesterday. Absolute tit pulling that out. And then guess what? Bang, they get, you know, done by three. Embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. I felt for Bart as well. I really felt for Bart. You know, I think for him, you know, that gets to a point where you're like, you try so hard and you do so much. But sometimes even you, mate, the most like consistent, you have to chuck in a clanger now and then. And I don't think anyone will ever criticise him or say, oh, you know, he won't ever get the Archer treatment. But you know, it just summed up yesterday. Huddersfield, look, the first 10 minutes, when I saw the way Millwall were playing, I thought to myself, yeah, you know what?
Gonna murder them. Yeah.
They could get done four or five here. You know that this could be over by half time. But then it just, I don't know what it was that zapped the confidence out of Millwall. I don't understand. I don't get it. Well, I think having a striker that can actually find target could be good. You know, in terms of if you had Zahor playing, who's going to, you know, test the keeper a couple of times, yeah, it could be good and maybe it could keep confidence up. But it just seemed like literally someone stuck a needle in there and started pulling it. And there was just a drain of all confidence. You know, it was poor. And Huddersfield, they were simple. All they did was sit and wait and counter, sit, wait, counter, sit, wait, counter. It was like, you know, a sort of a table and a shitload of mirrors. Do you know what I mean? Like literally sit, wait, counter, just do the same thing. And mate, they countered, and look, they beat them 3-0.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah, I mean, the late two goals, obviously, I thought 3-0 was a... It wasn't a fair... Yeah, it flattered them. I think you're right, Jake. It wasn't a fair reflection of the game. I didn't think we deserved to win the game. I didn't think we deserved the point, to be honest, based on the overall performance. But 3-0 was tough to take. I mean, there was an early penalty shout, and you know, these moments change games, as we all know. I mean, Jake, you were probably watching the same feed as me. I thought that was as clear as day... A penalty, and I don't know what goes through referees' minds not to give it. You know,
this treatment seems to be a weekly thing, don't it? I mean, you see every game. You see it with Smith, you see it with Wallace, you see it with Cooper. Players get away with it. I mean, I know Millwall have had a few penalties, and obviously they had one the other day, and Smith did get one against Wickham, which was so clear cut. But there was ones against Luton. Players,
I don't know if referees are not watching it or they just don't think there's enough in that, but you watch diagonal balls get lumped into the box, and before the ball is even near Matt Smith, someone's got his hands all over him. Mm. I mean, he's got to start giving them. If you give every single one, then it won't happen as much. But players know they can get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tolerated by referees. I mean, do you see it at other grounds, Aaron? You're a number of different football league grounds in your travels. I mean, is the refereeing uniformly poor? We tend to think of it as a Millwall thing.
Problem. It's a big problem, but I think the referees are sort of getting away with it purely because people are just so happy to have football about.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it's uniformly poor throughout the Football League. It's disappointing because it is a fabulous league to watch. I think that players get away with a lot more in the Football League if you watch it compared to the Premier League, where, you know, the slightest, you know, push and you get a free kick and you get, you know, a stoppage. But with the Football League, I mean, you get that allowance, that tolerance. Do you know what I mean? You know, I saw Adebayo Akinfenwa being absolutely fucking abused on Tuesday night. Yeah. Absolutely, like, sort of like grabbed onto. And you know, the amount of times in the past, what, 2-3 games I've seen, plenty of incidents where, you know, they should have, you know, if VAR was there, they would have probably...
Well, I was just going to drop the dread VAR word. I mean, and that's a complete other subject, which we won't want to go into today, because I know you both have got things you want to do. But, I mean, I suppose the commentary team said the penalty shout was probably not given because it was too early in the game. And I don't quite buy the logic of that. If a referee sees an infringement, I mean, famously, in the 74 World Cup final, Jack Taylor gave a penalty in the opening 20 seconds because he saw an infringement on Johan Cruyff. Well, if it's good enough for the World Cup final, it's got to be good enough for the Den on a blustery Saturday afternoon. But, no, I mean, you're right about our confidence being pierced, Aaron. And you know, I think that we had a great... I've got incessant pressure, 15 minutes on my notes that I kept yesterday, incessant little pressure. Then one decent passing move, Jake, and we go down like a, you know, like a balloon almost, you know.
I feel like generally this season, maybe bar Luton, first halves have generally been a struggle. I'm just looking here, apart from the early Wallace goal against Brentford, in 9 games, 2 first half stoppage goals from Cooper and the own goal against Luton, but 1 goal in the opening 9 games for first half stoppage time. So it's not sort of a Millwall have been slow starters this season.
Yeah,
have been losing in quite a lot of them. Losing against Barnsley, losing yesterday, losing against Wickham early in the second half against Swansea. So maybe they're just slow starting. I don't know. Mate, is that something to do with the lack of fans? I mean, when you've got a full Den, Mill will start well, and they have often games won in the first 20 minutes, half an hour. So
you know, yesterday I looked at the lineup, and I think we were talking about it, Nick, as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that lineup for me was quite negative yesterday. You know, I had no sort of inspiration when I saw that, you know, that the that team that was fielded. I think the game was crying out again. I know people are probably fed up of me saying it. Game was crying out for Ben Thompson. I think creativity, someone who can find that ball in the final third, someone who can pick out a pass, who can try things, you know. I just don't understand what he's done though to not be playing. He never plays.
He doesn't fit the plan. He doesn't seem to. There seems to be no.
Sometimes the plan has changed. Millwall changed to a 4-4. They changed to a 4-3-3 yesterday, or 4-4-2. Yeah. You know, like, surely you can fit him in. Matt Smith came on at half time because Bradshaw was shit. But, you know, should it have been a case of playing Bradshaw and Smith together and actually setting a Jeb Wallace stick on the right? You know, Mason Bennett starting off the bench. It was just a very negative lineup. It was one of those lineups we feel, yeah, we can rotate a bit because they're shit and we'll probably get a result out of this. Maybe it was a bit Billy Big Bollocks. Who knows? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just think they lacked, again, some form of creativity, some form of spark, something, someone to take the game by the scruff of the neck and go, let's do it. And I feel for Jeb Wallace because, again, he's carrying him. He's actually carrying him.
I want to mention Marlon Romeo. I thought was disappointing yesterday. I think he's had a few games where he's not looked the Marlon at old. I know that he's, you know, he was injured for a long time and maybe he's not 100%. Who knows? But, the quality of his crossing has been poor, I think, in the last few games. Would you agree, Jake? I just think he's been disappointing.
It was particularly frustrating in the Preston game. There was quite a few times in the first half an hour where you sort of opened up the space, him and Jed, and you got players like Zahor in the box and Smith in other games, and you're crying out for a good ball. And when you've got players like Zahor and Smith that are good in the air, you don't need a perfect ball. If you get it in and around that six-yard box, just give them something to feed off. And far too often, it's hitting the first man, and then he comes inside. But I think you get plenty of Mill fans that will say, if Romeo's delivery was better, he'd be a Premier League player.
Same for a lot of, I mean, I'd say the same for Jed as well, because sometimes his delivery can be a little bit frustrating. If it was better, he wouldn't be with us, Jake, would he? He'd be playing for...
To what Aaron was saying, the negative lineup, I totally agree. I mean, this sort of, whatever you look at, 5-3-2, 3-5-2, works wonders away from home. You have the three big centre-backs, or if Pierce plays, Pierce. They're very, very solid, and you keep it tight, and then you counter, like you saw against Preston with Jed and Bennett. But I don't think you need three centre-backs in a home game against Huddersfield. No disrespect.
Definitely not.
Don't. Play, he could have taken one of them out and played an extra attacker, because Millwall fans don't want to see five defenders in home games. They want to see take the game to the opposition. In away games, Preston, it will probably happen against Norwich. Great. Teams that can score a lot of goals, soak up pressure, and then hit them on the counter. Perfect. It works wonders. But, I mean, I think that was the fifth home game yesterday. Four times he's played five at the back, and the only time he didn't was against Luton. And okay, that might be a coincidence, but Luton was the best performance of the season for me. So I just feel like it's very unnecessary, especially when you've got Smith on the bench. He could have played Smith and Bradshaw. He could have played Bennett. And I just don't think it's necessary for five defenders in a home game against Huddersfield. No disrespect to Huddersfield, but just unnecessary.
No, I'll make you right, Jake. I think we're playing an away tactic at home, which wouldn't play well if there were fans in the den. There obviously aren't. So, you know, maybe there's a sense you can get away with it, but it's not being effective at home, that's for sure. But the pace of the Championship is relentless, as we've said. Norwich City on Tuesday night, that's going to be a tough game. I mean, they're sitting in fourth position, I think I saw, and I'm looking at the table. So that's going to be a tough away game. We never really seem to flourish at Norwich in my time. So, you know, no time to dwell on this. They're going to have to get straight back on it. Would you start Smith on, presuming that Zahor is not fit, Jake, on Tuesday? Or would you stick with Bradshaw? How would you...
I'd start Smith. I know Smith's not everyone's cup of tea. And often he sort of changes the sort of style of play, but you saw it last season. You give him chances in the box, and I know he's missed a few this season, but he causes chaos, and defenders hate playing against Matt Smith. You can bring the best defender in world football down to the den. They will not enjoy playing against Matt Smith.
He's going to bundle them. Isn't
it funny how, like, after he walks away from something, he just holds his lower back like a pregnant woman. He just stands there always with his back, hand on his back all the time. It's quite funny. He's been doing it for years now, Matt Smith. Like, I hope nothing's actually wrong with his Bradley Dack. But, you know, like, it's funny. Like, he just, he's a funny guy. Like, if you see him playing football as well, his first touch sometimes is absolutely woeful. Yesterday, a couple of times, the touch, I just looked, I was like, oh, God. You know, like, come on, man, what are you doing? But, you know what, saying that, I think against a Norwich defence, which Norwich's defence has been their Achilles heel for a while now, I think you play a two, if you can have Matt Smith and someone running off him, I think you've got a good chance. You know, they've got Grant Hanley and Ben Gibson at the back. Hanley's been sort of much maligned. Obviously, they'll go and Mill will play that sort of back five again, and it's understandable. But, you know, you look at Norwich's back line and they can do something. Smith can do something. Obviously, you know, Temapuki's getting in the goals now. They've got Buendia playing, Campbell playing, Jordan Hugill. You know, that they're kicking into gear slowly, Norwich. But I'm telling you, at the back, there's a little weakness. There's something to be got out there.
You're optimistic for us on Tuesday night, Aaron.
don't know about that. I'm just telling I'm giving you the tips. It's like a cryptic, you know, sort of clue.
What about you, Jake? You optimistic for the Lions going up the Carra Road on Tuesday night, mate?
I can see. I mean, obviously Norwich are going to start as favourites, but I can definitely see Millwall coming away with something at least. But I'm with you. I want to see Smith playing. Oh, I want to see Smith playing. As Aaron said, you can say all you want about delivery was poor in this game and that game, but the facts are with Bradshaw, you've got two goals in 27 whatever it is games. That's not good enough.
No, it's not.
Not a team that are losing every week. Millwall have hardly lost in 2020. You've got players like Jed that score goals, Smith score goals. I have no doubt that Parrott would score goals. So there's only a certain amount of time that a striker can get away with the bad service card, or, oh, we weren't good enough today, or there wasn't enough balls in behind. At the end of the day, you got to do a bit more than that, if I'm honest.
We've got fixtures at Norwich, and then we're away at Sheffield Wednesday the Saturday following. So, I mean, they're in dire straits, aren't they? Rock bottom at the moment, Sheffield Wednesday. I know we're only approaching the 10-game mark. There's nearly a quarter of the season in, so the table will start to sift into the general kind of pattern for the season. So, you know, a tough away game, but followed by another game at Hillsborough that we probably expect to or hope to come away with something from. So it's a big week, two big fixtures in front of us.
Does that not scream out Sheffield United home win, though?
Sheffield Wednesday, it does, doesn't it?
They got this abysmal run at Hillsborough. I feel like they've...
Four red L's on my BBC table.
January.
Yeah, minus four obviously with the points deduction, but we live in hope. After the Lord Mayor's Show was the name of the famous book by Merv Payne. I think that was what yesterday was, chaps. So fingers crossed for Tuesday night. I know you've both got things you want to run on to, so I'm going to say thank you to Aaron Paul for your expert summary, as ever, mate.
Cheers, Nick. My happy belated birthday as well.
Thank
if anyone
very didn't much.
Nick is he qualifies for his bus pass now, so
I do, well, funnily enough, I applied for my TFL Oyster card. If only over 60 Oyster card. If only there were places to go, Jake, on my free travel around London now. But there's nowhere to go, mate. It's all shut.
That, yeah.
Big thank you to Jake Sanders for joining us on this shortened show, Sunday afternoon show. Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, it's lovely to catch up. Wise, hopefully, a few more wins this week and push up the table.
Nice one, Colonel.
Thank you, Jake Sanders. Thank you, Aaron Paul. And we'll say bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Afton Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. However, it's actually Millwall. Till next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.